It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I'm not sure if you have heard about this, but the New York City Community Board has voted 29-1 to permit an Islamic organization to build a mosque and a community center, $100 million project, I believe, right near Ground Zero, meaning right near where the World Trade Centers were, meaning right near where Muslim terrorists took more than 3,000 lives and in the process destroyed tens of thousands of lives related to those people. What do you think of that? Is it time for us to take the higher ground and show grace to the Muslim community and show that Americans operate by a different spirit? Or is this an outrage? Michael Brown coming your way again, live from Pensacola, Florida today, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. I posted this question on Facebook. There's a personal page I have where we're out of room. 5,000 people is the limit there, so we started just a public page, Ask Dr. Brown page. And I found it fascinating. Here are the two first responses that I got. David from New York, who may be calling in, a friend of mine, evangelist, soul winner, street minister. I asked, was it right for the New York City Community Board to approve the building of a Muslim mosque and community center right near Ground Zero where the Twin Towers were destroyed? My wife's brother, her only brother, was killed, the World Trade Center, leaving behind his wife and two children, one of many horrific casualties. So is it right? The first response that came in on one page said, like a bust of Hitler on the Mount of Olives. The other Facebook page, the first response was this from Paul. Who's to judge or chuck the first stone? We are all sinners. We must forgive and move on together. 866-348-7884. There are a lot of fascinating comments that came pouring in pretty quickly, and I'm going to read some of them in a moment. But this, of course, brought a very, very heated discussion. So Associated Press reported, after hours of contentious public comment, the New York City Community Board voted late Tuesday to support a plan to build a mosque and cultural center near Ground Zero. It's a seat of peace, board member Rob Townley said. We believe that this is a significant step in the Muslim community to counteract the hate and fanaticism in the minority of the community. Remarkably, New Yorkers feel things pretty deeply, you know, passionate people. The vote was 29-1 in favor of the plan with 10 abstentions. They wanted the vote to be postponed and moved by the Manhattan Community Board. One, while not necessary for the building's owners to move forward with the project, is seen as key to obtaining residents' support. The meeting was unruly, with project opponents jeering at speakers and yelling comments such as, "You're building over a Christian cemetery," while holding signs that read, "Show respect for 3,000. Many said they were not opposed to a mosque, just not one that's two blocks from Ground Zero. The families of September 11 victims, quote, would be wounded by erecting a mega mosque so close to the place where their loved ones were massacred, said Viviana Hernandez, a chaplain. Even though they may have altruistic reasons, the real terrorists will see it as a win on their side. Tea Party activist Mark Williams has called the proposed center a monument to the terror attacks. It goes on. Here's a leader of the Cordoba Initiative, said that this is the Muslim initiative, said it would provide 150 full-time jobs, 500 part-time jobs, and an investment in more than $100 million in infrastructure. in the city's financial district. Another spokesman for the initiative said that the project sponsors understood the pain that people have about 9/11, but he said his community and congregation were among those that died in the attacks. We've condemned the terror of 9/11, he said. We have worked to ensure that our mosques are not recruiting grounds for terrorists. The argument goes back and forth. I was quite plainly shocked, very shocked, when I saw this article. To me, knowing the triumphant mentality of Islam, it's hard for me to. This was a horrific outrage associated with Islam, associated with Islamic fanaticism, but certainly something that represents conservatively 100 million, 200 million Muslims in the world. And now there's going to be a massive monument to Islam right near where people were killed. I mean, bodies were strewn throughout the area. By the way, just realized we had a problem with our phone lines. 866-34-TRUTH. Folks are trying to get through unsuccessfully. We corrected that. My apologies. 866-348-7884. As far as I understand Islam, even Muslims who are not extreme or not fanatical still believe in the worldwide triumph of Islam, still believe that Islam should be the world dominant religion. And massive amounts of funds in oil-rich Muslim nations go into propagating Islam. Oh, no, not necessarily through jihad, but they go into propagating Islam worldwide. They go into building major cultural centers to have a presence, to get a message out. And to me, this seems like an absolute outrage. This seems to be a slap in the face of the victims. This seems to be a slap in the face of look, there were Muslims that were killed. There were Jews that were killed. There were Christians that were killed. There were irreligious people that were killed. All different kinds of people were killed. But this is a statement that there has to be an aspect of human sensitivity. It's one thing to not have hostility towards other Muslims. I'm just giving my views. A lot of times I defend both sides and go back and forth and so on. I'm going to read comments from both sides. But today I'm going to weigh in a little early and then discuss it, take some of your calls, share some of these comments. In fact, let me go to my friend David here. Buddy David Van Fleet from Queens, New York. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. It's good to talk to you. How are you?
Great to talk to you. I need you to speak up as loud as you can, okay?
Okay.
All right. You are a soul winner. You are a man that goes after folks on the street. You're glad to open your home to a Muslim and feed them and care for people. And yet you said that this would be like putting up a bust of Hitler on the Mount of Olives. So how can you explain that in light of the fact that you're a gospel minister?
Well, for one, this is not just about love. It is. Christ loves all people, and we certainly do. Our ministry, as he just said, I mean, we serve everybody and anybody. But the reason why it's such an outrage, why it's going to put so much animosity, is because it's just the worst and the most wrong thing that you can do, knowing though the people want to be politically correct and never talk about things. The fact is that the majority of all terrorism and all extremist terrorists are from a Muslim faith. I mean, there's just no way around that. And to do what they did and will continue to do and are committed for life and through death to do it, to me, it is an outrage to take and put a mosque so close to the site. It's just an absolute wrong, and it's like so many other things. Would we set up a beautiful Catholic church in the middle of Belfast? You know, you just don't do things like that. It's just such an attitude. Even today, just having read, Mike, it's interesting that jihad is a legitimate tenet of Islam, but we shouldn't call them jihadists, and we shouldn't use those terms to describe them as America's enemies. But again, it's the whole politically correct thing that we're in fear. Mm. We never want to. That's one of the things that happened. I lived there during the first 2.5 weeks after it. And the spirit of fear that was over the place and still over this nation is still there. And people don't want to stir up anything that they think could lead to even more violence here in America. So we virtually never speak out. But this is one that you have
to. All right. So this for you is all, it's not just an outrage. It's also a matter of wrong capitulation. Hey, David, thanks for calling in. Blessings on your ministry. We'll be back. What about forgiveness? Where does that play in? Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way live from Pensacola, Florida. By the way, the end of the broadcast, a little later in the show today, I think I'm going to read a few more revival testimonies, people who were radically impacted by a great revival movement that God brought here to Pensacola from around 95 to 2000. Keep reading new testimonies that just are amazing to hear how deeply impacted people were and how that impact has lasted to this day for the name of Jesus. But we're focusing right now on the building of a mosque and a community center, supposedly interfaith dialogue place, two blocks from Ground Zero where the World Trade Center went down and bodies strewn throughout that entire area. So in that sense, it's a burial ground. New York City Community Board voted 29-1 to approve it, which is a shocker for me. I have to say it's a shocker. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, I am all for extending grace, forgiveness, mercy. Someone wrongs you, you forgive. If they repent and come to make restitution, you reach out every way you know how. But let me ask you a question, all right? I'm going to give you a different subject here, but just to ask you a question. Let's say someone is guilty of stealing on the job, works at a bank, is guilty of stealing, and turns out the person was doing it over a period of several months, and they get caught. And you say, look, I forgive you. I don't hold this against you, but you are being fired. Well, would you rehire that person a week later because you forgave them? No, you still have wisdom and responsibility, don't you? There are certain things that send messages. There are certain things that are matters of practical wisdom. And to me, there is a message that's being sent here. And okay, let me read something, all right? One of the folks involved, Muslims involved, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, says, we have condemned the terror of 9/11. We have worked to ensure that our mosques are not recruiting grounds for terrorists. Okay, but this is still Islam, and this is still a testimony to Islam and the glory of Islam. You're going to tell me that Muslims around the world would not be gloating that the World Trade Center, in the Islamic world, what would symbolize the greed and the materialism and the power of the Christian West to be looked at by Islam, those are crashed down by the work of Muslim terrorists, and now there's a mosque in there. That's not going to be a point of boasting or glorying. Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer said in a statement by supporting the multi-faith community and cultural center, the board sent a clear message that our city is one that promotes diversity and tolerance. No! Tolerance must go two ways, and ultimately it doesn't go that way in Islam. Let me ask you this. Are these Muslim leaders renouncing the Islam of Saudi Arabia, for example, and the Islam that permeates the Middle East? Almost every nation in the Middle East that is Islamic has a certain mentality, is very restrictive of other religions. Come on, Saudi Arabia, you're gonna restrict our servicemen from having Bibles there, as Islam has its way. You're talking about absolute intolerance. The tolerance only goes one way, which is tolerate our views, and when we're in the minority, we have no choice but to tolerate yours, but let us be in the majority. And we're going to let you build a church. Think of this. Think of any Islamic country in the world, that would allow Christians to build a massive church community center at a place nearby where Muslims were massacred years past, say, in the Crusades. And they're going to say, oh, yeah, sure, under our jurisdiction today, go ahead and build. Let me get a perspective from Israel here. Our friend Shani Ferguson, one of our grads and a dear friend of the family. Hey, Shani, nice to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you.
All right, so do I sound like some raging fanatic here and intolerant and really not understanding Islam? I mean, what's your perspective as an Israeli believer?
I think something interesting is that I think the reason this is happening really is because for the last 10 years, America has failed to identify what is the threat and why we're seeing it now in the form of a mosque, let's say. And I personally, I believe in freedom of religion. I don't think the government should tell a mosque where it can and can't be built, because one day they'll tell a church or a synagogue where it can and can't be built. But the reason this is happening is because people don't identify what I would consider, let's say, the Middle Eastern version of Islam, what people would call radical Islam, which permeates the Muslim culture. They won't say that's bad, and then, let's say, people that want to be more of a moderate, mainstream kind of Muslim, then those people are different. And since nobody's identifying the radical Muslims and the moderate, let's say, Muslims by, what'd you call them, but just Muslims that are born into Islam, since those aren't differentiated, then it's hard to say what this mosque is going to be. It's hard to say, are they going to practice Sharia law in there? If you go in there and you're not dressed modestly, is that okay? I mean, when Israel was controlled by Muslims, the Jews were not allowed to go to the wall and pray. And now that Jews in a Western country control the Western wall, then Muslims actually are allowed to go pray, and Jews are allowed to go pray, and Christians are allowed to go pray.
There's freedom under religion as long as Islam is not the dominant religion.
Correct. Correct.
What do you think in the larger Islamic world, if $100 million mosque and community center is built right near Ground Zero, even if the Muslims are quote moderate, would that send a signal to Muslims worldwide? Would that be any sense of triumph in the eyes of Islam?
No, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, I would like to know where the money is coming for this mosque, if any of it is coming from terror organizations or the same people that would back terror organizations.
That's a good question that needs to be asked, and I'm going to have to dig a little deeper. You know, it reminds me when a Saudi Arabian leader wanted to give a donation to New York City after 9/11 to help, Mayor Giuliani said, thanks, but no thanks, we're not taking your money. You know, majority of the bombers were from Saudi.
They had identified a specific sect of Islam that they were considering an enemy. And at this point, I guess Eric Holder just said he's not really sure that radical Islam is really causing problems, and that the counterterrorism chief today said that jihad is really just not really all that bad of a word. And so when people are not able to identify what is bad, then you have this mosque and nobody knows if it is of the bad Islam or the not so bad Islam or the nobody knows. And that,
got it.
That's
and where the lines are actually drawn. All right. Hey, what's your website?
It's YeshuaIsrael.com.
All right. YeshuaIsrael.com. Thanks. Gotta go. All right. Thanks, Shani. YeshuaIsrael.com. We'll spell it on the other side of the break. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming away live from Pensacola, Florida, talking about whether a mosque should be built in New York City, right near Ground Zero, right where the World Trade Center came down, and more than 3,000 were killed, including my wife's brother, Douglas Gurian. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me read some of the comments here on my Facebook page. I think it's horrible. It's like people have forgotten who destroyed the Twin Towers and killed all those people. I'm sorry, but that's an outrage. Another says it's an outrage. One says they had to let them. If not, they'd have to start telling us we can build a church. Another, if this bothers you, then perhaps I should hold you personally responsible for the Crusades. In other words, the Crusaders did certain things. Are all Christians responsible? Of course, the answer is that the Crusades were a complete 100% violation of Christian teaching, whereas jihad is in harmony with Islamic teaching. Another, it's a slap in the face of all the families who lost their loved ones. And then an interesting post from Danielle. I'm sad to see such hostility towards another people group just because of their religion. Yes, I know the guys that were responsible for crashing the planes into the Twin Towers and killed 3,000 people were Muslims, but that does not make the entire 1 billion Muslims around the world murderers, and certainly not the around 800,000 Muslims living in New York. Where is the Christian love? Jesus called us to love our neighbors and then went on to illustrate who our neighbor was. Do you remember? The United States, New York, maybe more than any other city, is considered the prime example of a multicultural nation and city, a proof that it is possible for all ethnic groups and religions to live in relative peace with each other. It goes on. He's writing from Europe. Should it turn out to become a hotbed for extremism, funneling finances to radical groups, then I'm sure the proper law enforcement agencies will take care of that. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think of those comments by Danielle? Listen, I am one who has publicly gotten up and apologized to the gay and lesbian community on a number of occasions for the failings of the church to reach out with compassion and understanding. I have written extensively on sins committed against Jewish people in the name of Jesus and constantly teach about that to educate Christians so they can reach out with compassion and sensitivity and, where necessary, ask forgiveness for atrocious things that were done in the name of Jesus to Jews. I make no connection between that and where you are remembering victims of a terrorist attack to build a monument to that religion right there. They're two completely separate issues. It's not a matter of forgiveness in my book or Christian love. It's simply a matter of recognizing that a significant minority of Muslims are 100% behind these attacks, that Osama remains a very hot, big name in Muslim circles, that where Islam predominates, it excludes freedom of religion, and that this would be a major statement to the triumph of Islam, like it or not. And I believe any multicultural dialogue it would bring about would ultimately dilute the real danger that Islam presents to the rest of the world. It is the nature of Islam to take over. We believe as Christians that we should go and disciple the nations, but we do it through service and through sacrifice, through love. Islam will do it through a number of different ways, including, when necessary, taking up the sword. But even if you put that aside, even if the terrorist attack was completely aberrant and did not represent the significant stream of Islam, which it absolutely does, without question, it does. Even if that was not the case, I would still say, in sensitivity to the victims, you don't do this. It's a slap in the face. And I believe with all my heart, as I've studied Islam and through the years and learned Arabic to read the Quran and classical Arabic literature, I believe this would be looked at as a world triumph and would send a message. You can differ with me. That's why we've got talk radio here. Chad in Salt Lake City, thanks for calling.
Hi, I just had a comment. You know, some Muslims, even though they are not extreme, will one day be called to war against every Christian and Jew alive. So you catch the last one behind a rock and you murder him too, because their extreme agenda is to rule the world so Muhammad can be God. There is no peace when it comes to Christians and Jews, especially people like Barack Obama who don't understand Muslims. They will be called against him too. You know, trying to reach out to Muslims without the Bible is the wrong idea. Instead of us changing them, they are here to change us. And I think it's an outrage, period. But I got to go, man. I just want to make that comment.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call. By the way, I think Chad just accidentally misspoke about Islam wanting everyone to know that Muhammad is God, that, you know, Muhammad is the prophet, Allah is God. But there is Islamic tradition that does make clear that that Jews even hiding behind trees, that, you know, certain trees will say there's a Jew behind you, kill him. Basically, Islamic theology looks for the conversion of the Christians and the destruction of the Jews. And, hey, that is simple reality. So I want to come back to this point. There's a lively discussion taking place on Facebook. If you want to get into real-time discussions, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, get into the discussions there. These are archived for everyone to look at and discuss over periods of weeks and months, as well as join my Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook. And if you missed the website for our friends, Kobe and Shani in Israel, it's Yeshua Israel, Y-E-S-H-U-A, YeshuaIsrael.com. Let me point out one other thing. New York City is not Christian. In other words, this is not a matter of the church making a decision. This is a matter of citizens of New York City making a decision, the great majority of whom are not believers. I am all for dialogue. I sit down with people from every background here. I'm reading today, just minutes before the show, a piece written by an ultra-Orthodox rabbi attacking my five-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. Okay, I'm reading that immediately before going on the show, where he's attacking this and saying I'm contradictory here, and the message I'm proclaiming can't possibly work, etc. And the reason I'm reading it is because he sent it to me. The reason he sent it to me is because we talk every Wednesday night. He told me what was in the paper last night. And I said, great, thank you. I'm formulating responses even as you're speaking. Looking forward to seeing it. And he's a dear friend. I mean, we dialogue weekly as much as possible. I'm all for sitting down with folks and interacting and sharing views. And I am totally 100% for extending forgiveness, mercy, compassion, and demonstrating Jesus to the world. And I am for cultural sensitivity. And I am for respecting the memory of the dead, and I am for recognizing when you open a door to something that only wants to take over and dominate. Friends, wake up. Islam has an agenda. We come back, I'm going to talk about an ad campaign in New York and some other cities, leaving Islam, ? We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Coming away live from Pensacola, Florida, the home of an extraordinary outpouring of the Spirit from the better part of 95 through 2000, called by some church historians the longest-running, largest local church revival in American history. And I had the privilege of serving on the leadership team, being part of that from 96 to 2000. And have been blessed to this moment to see the lasting fruit that came out of it. A lot of it came out of the school that we raised up in response to the revival to help equip laborers to go to the harvest. And these people have been on the harvest now 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And that school continues right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, as Fire School of Ministry. Maybe you need to check that out. 866-34-TRUTH. What about the building of a mosque right near Ground Zero, where World Trade Center went out? Well, what if, let's try to give you context here. Let's say there were 1 billion Baptists in the world, okay? And a good portion of Baptist theology said that violence in Jesus' name is appropriate. And in, let's say Iran, make it a little bit more extreme here. Baptist terrorists bombed buildings and took the lives of thousands of Muslims. Now, moderate Baptists, right at that same site, wanted to build a big Baptist church there in the name of tolerance and diversity. Oh, yeah. You think that would go? There is a fascinating article that New York City bus ads, I believe in some other locations as well, are targeting disenfranchised Muslims. And the ads say, leaving Islam, fatwa on your head, which would be a death threat hanging over you, on your family or community, threatening. It's part of what it says. And there is a website, Refuge from Islam. And this is Pamela Geller, who leads an organization called Stop Islamization of America. So the ads were meant to help provide resources for Muslims who are fearful of leaving the faith. It's not offensive to Muslims. It's religious freedom. It's not targeted at practicing Muslims. It doesn't say leave. It says leaving with a question mark. What's fascinating is that Faiza Ali of the New York chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations said the ads were based on a false premise that people face coercion to remain with Islam. She said Muslims believe faith that is forced is not true belief. And Ali said Geller is free to say what she likes, just as concerned community members are free to criticize their motives. Absolutely. Don't tell me there's not pressure in leaving Islam. In a strict Islamic country, if you leave Islam, it's death penalty by law, and a family member can kill you and be commended for it. And people who call for moderate Islam and the modernizing of things and reading the Quran differently in a more tolerant and peaceful way, many of these people are given death threats. Anyway, all right, let me grab another call. Norman in Salt Lake City, thanks for calling.
No problem. I was actually calling to just put a little context on it myself. I was thinking it would be like if Fred Phelps in Westboro Baptist Church wanted to build a new chapel in the middle of the Castro in San Francisco. Do you think that San Francisco's city council would allow that? You know, I mean, that's the context of what this is like. And calling this mosque is the Cordoba center. Cordoba was like the zenith of Islamic conquering in the Middle Ages. That's when they came in and took over that part of Spain. That was like their crown jewel. So to call this the Cordoba center and put it two blocks away from where jihadists blew up these buildings, it is an outrage. It's an insult.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the significance of Cordoba in the past, the Moorish conquest, as it was called. Look, I don't know how many Spanish-speaking people know this, but in point of fact, there are Spanish words, even A-L, meaning the, in Spanish, at the beginning of a word, that comes from Arabic because of the Arabic conquest of Spain and so on. And the fact that territory was lost is still considered a wound, because once something was Islamic territory and is lost, is considered an open wound. And, you know, I like your analogy about the Castro district in San Francisco. I put it slightly differently. After years of Fred Phelps and God Hates Fags, that abominable junk of him preaching and then actually inciting violence against homosexuals, then other Baptists coming in and say, well, we want to build a big Baptist church here, but we don't agree with Fred Phelps. I mean, the sensitivities are going to be quite extreme. But Norman, thank you, sir, for the call. Great points. I appreciate it. Why in the world are you going to name this thing the Cordoba Initiative? Friends, let me say it again. There is an Islamic agenda, even among moderate Muslims. No, they are not all killers and jihadists. God forbid. Majority of Muslims worldwide are peace-loving. There is an agenda. Wake up to it. We come back, some testimonies that will bless you and encourage you. Stay with us. Boy, I have been thrilled, blessed, to be with you, spend this hour together on the Line of Fire broadcast. Remember, tomorrow you've got questions, we've got answers. I'll be getting into a lot of interesting email questions as well as taking your calls. And God willing, coming away live on Memorial Day. I know it's a day when many folks are doing other things and often different life patterns. So I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground. If you want to give a call on random subjects on Monday, I may be able to take some calls as well on a wide number of subjects. Okay, if you missed the broadcast, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Line of Fire. You'll be able to listen to the show later today. Don't forget, you can subscribe by podcast. And for everyone listening by internet podcast in the Dallas area, beginning Tuesday, June 1st, so just a few days from now, God willing, we'll be coming your way live on 1160 AM. I believe it's KVCE. Is that it? So get word out. All right. Let me just share some testimonies. I talked about signs of true revival yesterday. I've just been thrilled to see the many testimonies that have been posted on our Facebook pages. Eric writes this: I can hardly talk of the revival without tears. Everything changed overnight. I was a careless, heartless devil who loved himself on Friday on the way to Pensacola in 1997. And on Saturday morning on my way home, I literally cried as we got further and further away. It was the closest thing to heaven. I was a church pastor's kid who never cared about God, who fell in so love with Jesus for the rest of his life. The power of the Holy Spirit rocked my life beyond anything I'd ever seen or experienced before or since. And the broken, burdened, and desperate words of Arthur Wallace, "Oh God, do it again." I have condensed my intercession into one prayer: "Oh God, send revival." Grace wrote this: I first went to the revival in 96 with my church. I'd only been saved a few months, then went a few more times with my church, and God touched my life each time. Then God made a way miraculously for me to go to Brown's Revival School of Ministry for a year in 99. Again, that school continues to this day as Fire School of Ministry, but that's out of Charlotte. Here I am, 11 years later, and the things God did in me, they are still burned within me. Friends, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm sharing these things with you to encourage you to believe God for fresh outpouring of His Spirit, to believe God for a deepening work of His Spirit, because in a short period of time, sometimes in a week, in true revival, more can happen than takes place in years. And lives that'll never be changed will be dramatically changed. Grace continues, I have many stories I could tell, and stories even the miraculous and the supernatural, but the lasting changes in my heart and the depth of Christian character and relationship with Jesus that I received from being bathed in that environment is priceless. That relationship with Jesus, passion for the Lord, Christian character, the devil doesn't do that. That is a work of the Spirit. Steve wrote, we visited Brownsville a few times during the revival and were mightily touched and changed. My first time going was a couple months after being born again. Our congregation was already experiencing the touch of God because our pastor had gone to Brownsville and God did a deep work in him. Thus, thankfully, revived Christianity was all the Christianity I knew for the first several years of my walk with the Lord. I can never settle for less now. Shirley wrote, I was there the last year of the revival. Totally awesome. Changed my life. Sold out in Ohio, moved to Pensacola, saw and experienced the mighty power of God in demonstration. Oh, this is sweet. Bought all your books. Love your teaching on those special days. Hey, friends, we were in the midst of something extraordinary God was doing. Angela wrote, God touched me in so many ways as a result of the revival in Brownsville and the School of Ministry. I was filled with the Spirit, delivered and set free from sin, healed, and I met my wonderful husband there too. It was an awesome time. And I praise God that I was part of it. Boy, and it just goes on and on and on. Someone wrote and said that her 350-pound addict, alcoholic brother was delivered, set free, serving God to this day. The stories go on. Jesus is Lord, and He wants to do something greater in our day. Back with you tomorrow. Be blessed.